My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Ball. He's a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He is also the author of numerous books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. With many political and media figures now openly concluding that man-made climate change is responsible for the size or the power or the amount of moisture inside Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Harvey, as it relentlessly batters the Texas Gulf Coast, we want to get Dr. Ball's insights on what is and what is not responsible for the devastation. And Dr. Ball, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Let's start with a couple of the different clips that have come to our attention here. And these were gathered up by the media outlet Grabian, so we should give them credit for this. They have a long montage. It's about 2.5 minutes long of a lot of different clips. Here's just four that we have taken out of here. First of all, here is CNN's chief legal correspondent, Jeffrey Toobin, about how the different parties are looking at this and how the questions need to be asked about climate change.
The Republican Party is united on that. And I think one question we should ask, even if the Republican Party isn't asking that, is what is the role of man-made climate change in disasters like this one? It doesn't necessarily create storms like this, but does it increase the intensity of these storms? You know, climate change is part of this story.
Then their political analyst, Ron Brownstein, was a little more sure.
There is no doubt that climate change makes, particularly because of warming the ocean waters and the Gulf waters, makes storms like this more common.
But when media figures actually talk to scientists, they're not getting the rock-solid conclusions they're necessarily looking for. Here's CBS This Morning's Dana Jacobson talking with scientist Michio Kaku.
Watch out. There could be more monster hurricanes to come.
And that's the theory that climate change is impacting all of this.
Well, we're not sure.
And then over at CNN, you've got anchor John Berman setting the premise and the former director of the National Hurricane Center, Bill Reed, not necessarily taking the bait.
Is there a why to this, why there is so much water associated with this storm? One of the things we've heard from scientists over the last 10 years is that climate change does impact the intensity of many of the storms that we see.
I probably wouldn't attribute what we're looking at here. This is not an uncommon occurrence.
So obviously we've got politics, we've got culture playing into this, as well as science, of course, Dr. Ball. So let's look at the most important factor here and get your analysis of that. What factors are in play with the fact that this storm essentially stopped over the coast, moved around a little bit, but essentially has been drenching this area for days? What factors go into that, and is man-made climate change one of them?
Well, man-made climate change is not occurring. There's no evidence for that whatsoever. And climate changes all the time naturally. And what most people don't know and what these people are doing, they don't know either. Bill Reed might have some idea, but they're taking things out of context. You're looking at one event. When you look at the long-term history of hurricanes and severe weather events, this is well within the normal variability and nothing unusual at all. The real issue here is, of course, people living in the areas where hurricanes occur and the loss of life that is created by that. And that's the issue that we really need to be looking at, of governments and insurance encouraging people to practice bad behavior. That's the issue that's missed in all of this. Beyond that, we can look at the fact that NOAA especially, and then the media amplifying it, are doing everything to hype these things because they want to push this whole human-caused global warming agenda. And one of the things that happened, Katrina was the first major example of it, Sandy was another, is that the wind speed determines the category of hurricane classification. And they do not have wind speed measurements over the ocean. So what they do is they fly through the top of the hurricane, one or two flights at most, and using a computer model, they then estimate the surface wind speed, and that then becomes the categorization of the hurricane. Well, of course, with Katrina, and now again with this one, NOAA want to push it because they're very much behind the whole human-caused global warming issue, and the media want to have something sensational. So it became very, very important that they got a wind speed that pushed the category up, and with Katrina it got to 5. When Katrina actually reached the shore and they got actual surface measurements of the wind, it barely made a category 3. And the damage was the fact that most of the loss of life in Katrina and the problems you see here in Houston and in Louisiana is people living in flood areas, floodplain areas. And with Katrina, the Army Corps of Engineers wanted to repair a dike that the environmentalists stopped them doing, and that caused the flooding that caused so many of the deaths. And so all of this is just all out of context. It's all part of the hysteria. And to try and get to the truth and to calm things down is almost impossible. And, of course, if you dare to even question any of this, you don't care about the people that are drowning or the loss of life and so on. You know, how dare you say that? But this is what's going on. You're immediately bullied into silence if you dare to try and bring some semblance of reason and evidence and facts to the issue.
Let me have you provide a little analysis on the climatological side here. So what factors ultimately are coming together, came together, to basically have this storm just park itself in this same place day after day after day?
Well, the reason it parked itself day after day is because the world is cooling down and the cold air is pushing down from the north. And if you look at the weather maps, you'll see that there were two high pressure ridges to the northwest of where the hurricane would normally go inland, and they were preventing it from moving inland. And so it's actually global cooling that's causing the problem. So yeah, it's climate change, but it's not the warming, it's the cooling. But what happens is that these systems start as tropical storms off the coast of Africa, and they travel across the Atlantic picking up moisture and heat. And in a moderate-sized hurricane, for example, it's estimated that 2 billion gallons of water an hour are being evaporated into the system. That's what fuels it, because that heat that's used for evaporation is released into the system when it condenses and forms the cloud. And that's what is driving the system. You notice that how quickly the system dies out when it moves over the land. In other words, it's like the fuel is being cut off. You're just squeezing the fuel line. And of course, with Harvey, that's not fully happening. Half of it is over land and half of it is over the water. So it's continuing to pick up some of the moisture, and that's feeding the steady rainfalls that are associated with it. Now, has this happened before? Oh, of course. It's just that it hasn't happened, as far as I know, in the modern record of hurricane events. But to understand the meteorology of it and to say that this would have occurred in the past is perfectly reasonable. And just to put that in perspective, no two hurricanes are alike. It's just like I always love the analogy that faces are made up of very simple components, but every one of them is very, very different. And that's true about hurricanes. Each one is got some very basic fundamental elements to it, but each one is different. And of course, it's these differences that people are picking up on and saying, oh, well, we haven't seen this in the hurricanes that we've got in our record. Therefore, it must be humans that are causing it. This is the kind of distortion, as I said, by taking things out of the historical context.
What does the data show right now, Dr. Ball? You mentioned we're in a cooling period. So the argument that our sea temperatures are continuing to rise year after year, accurate, inaccurate, inconclusive? What's the readout there?
Well, it's inaccurate. Related to the El Nino events, La Nina events, that this is what they want to push and prove. And, of course, the other thing is that the ocean temperature is a factor in determining the level of CO2 in the atmosphere, because the oceans absorb more when the water's cold and release more when it's warm. So all of these things are interrelated. And because the government, who effectively control all the climate data and climate information, are pushing the warming agenda, they're only presenting those facts that indicate what they want it to indicate. And we've got it in Britain right now, where the UK Met Office just came out and said it was the warmest August ever. Well, the world's 5 billion years old. You know, this is nonsense. And not only that, but what they did was they cooked the data to show this. They selected there is a warm patch down in the southeast of England right now, but the rest of England is below normal temperatures. So it's this cherry picking of data and selectivity of data to push the agenda that you've sold to the public. And of course, as a bureaucrat, you don't want to come out and say to the politicians who put their political lives on the line with this, hey, what I told you was wrong. That isn't going to happen. And so this is the difficulty when you get it in a bureaucracy. It takes on a life of its own.
Last question, and maybe there's no good answer to this one, but you and I have, of course, been talking for years, Dr. Ball, and the explanation from those who do believe that human activity is causing the climate to change. First, the argument was that, well, I guess decades ago, was that it was cooling, and then more recently is that it was warming, and now it's that it's making every weather event more intense. So you obviously disagree with that. Where do you expect the argument to go from here, or do you expect it to stay here for a while?
Well, it's interesting because the polls show the public don't consider climate change a concern. I mean, the Pew polls consistently show it as 38 out of 40 or something like that. And part of that is, of course, because they're not seeing the results. The fact that all of the predictions of temperature that have been made since 1990 have been wrong. And if your forecasts are wrong, your science is wrong. But they won't give up on the political agenda of this. Now it's starting to shift with Trump pulling from the Paris Climate Conference and, of course, all of the research funding that was going to that. But there will be a continued attempt to keep it going. But the evidence for cooling will continue to grow. And gradually people will start to realize that they've been fooled by it. My concern with that is, of course, that with so many of these environmental issues that they've over-exaggerated or deliberately misinformed the public, we need environmentalism. We need to keep our planet in good shape, and it doesn't pay to soil your own nest. But if we lie too much about it, people are going to say, I don't believe anything you tell us. And in fact, ironically, you're going to give comfort to those polluters that are causing problems. So we will continue to cool, and we'll see the effects of that. And by the way, the increased variability of weather that you referenced, that is what you get when the world starts to cool down. The cold air starts pushing further south. That's what's caused the problem with Harvey. And what it does is amplify the variability of the weather and the climate, and that's what we're seeing happening.
Very interesting stuff, Dr. Ball, and it's good to get all that in perspective as we watch so many other people try to attribute a cause here. Thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Well, thank you, and we just got to keep in mind, like Arnold Toynbee, the British historian, said about history, it's just one damn thing after another.
That much we could all agree on. Dr. Tim Ball is a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He's also the author of numerous books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.